My name is Reginald Albert Wheeler, the old post office, East Side, North Ickleton.
The reason I'm here is to talk about Edgar Wheeler, whom you knew. So, start at the beginning. Where did you come across him? How old was he?
Well, Edgar lived in East Side, North Ickleton, coming up the road up there. And I used to go and see him regular. Well, Edgar was a very strong Birmingham City supporter, football, right? And he, as I say, he had some land along the Cleve Road, and he lived with Aunt Sarah, we used to call her, in the cottage up there. He was honest as straight as the day was long, right? But he did have some sort of queer things, you know what I mean? And I can remember that, as I say, that he had a brother who lived at Brakehill, Frank Wheeler, lived at Brakehill, right? And Edgar worked on the railway. And he got this work, because he was working on the railway, he got Frank to go and make an offer for a piece of land. And Frank didn't. So they had a fight about it. And either Frank broke Edgar's jaw or Edgar broke Frank's jaw, you know what I mean? But he was a proper country man. He was honest as the day was long. I always got on well with him. As I was saying...
When did he buy the market garden then?
Well, so all the gardeners, as I say, along the Cleve Road, they bought the pieces of land on a 40-year lease off Gray's Manor Farm at Cleve Purr. They bought it off, and Edgar bought his off there.
In what year?
I wouldn't like to say what year. Probably in the 40s, 1940, something roughly. Well, Edgar, as I say, lived with Aunt Sarah up there, and he did go to live in the shed up there. He lived in the shed up there for quite a time. He did, and as I say, he planted a lot of cherries, planted a lot of cherry trees. There were cherry trees up there. He had artichokes in the garden here, a lovely garden as well, and he gave me some columbine seeds to plant in the flowers and so forth.
How much was there in a market garden? What area do you reckon? Acres or...?
So he'd have about, probably say, 2 acres up there, or something like that, roughly, yes.
And was that enough to live on?
Well, he had the job at the railway, you see. He worked at the railway as well, you see. I mean, but a lot of the gardeners round here, they had about 5 acres of land, and I mean, they brought up families as well on that, yes. But they kept it cropped regularly, you know, kept regular crops, yes.
What kind of crops?
They used to grow, as I say, onions, beans, sprouts, asparagus, peas, gillies, you might call them wallflowers, all those different sort of crops.
And how did they distribute them? I mean, people didn't come.
Yes, there, yeah, you know, there's 3 or 4 firms. Ems's Transport used to take them to Birmingham Market, and there was a Coventry Market from Cleve Prior, the 3C, they call it 3C Market, Coventry City Central Market, and now the railway, took it away. Like, Littleton were very famous, especially Littleton, for asparagus growing, because asparagus is a seaweed, right? And the thing is, there was a lot of salt in so forth. And I remember my uncles used to work these, what they call stem ploughs, you know what I mean, along there. And they up the football ground there, they couldn't get any water out of the well because there was too much salt in it. And if you know Bickmarsh very well, do you? Do you know the Nook Pool at Bickmarsh, what they call the Nook Pool? Why the grinding station? Do you know there's a steam engine in the bottom of there? Yes. Because my uncles worked on the steam engine, and it come a lot of rain overnight and it filled it in. There's a steam engine at the bottom of that Nook Pool.
Good God.
Yes. Yes, there is.
So asparagus was really a product of just that extra salt, was it?
Yes. Asparagus as well, the thing is, you must have often them in places you haven't, and they were no good for asparagus because the land was too light. If you know what I mean? You wanted heavy clay. And when we grow the asparagus, we used to mount it up, grow the asparagus, and we used to use either lime or salt. Lime or soot. Well, the man came from Birmingham, bring loads of soot out, £5 a load, this soot, and but you must not use fresh soot on the land, no. You want to keep it 12 months because it would burn the land, yes.
But when you put it on after a year...
Yeah, it'll make the land work well. Yes, yes, it would make it look well.
How many tons in a load?
Oh, I don't know, it'd probably be 3 or 4 tons, because it was light, you see, it was light, you know, it was light.
Yeah, so there was a lot of it.
Oh, we had a lot of it, yeah. Yes. And I can remember this one particular day, I kept this soot on my land at the bottom of the big stack. About 12 months, I thought it was about time now, I go and shifted this soot and took a bearer and spread it, you know what I mean? So there were a lot of bees in the warmth there, and all of a sudden, I was emptying this soot, and something went like that. I thought, well, what's that? I didn't take a lot of notice of it, and I wish I'd have kept it. And do you know, I brought it home, cleaned it up, and it was a penny with two tails not stuck together. I wish I'd have kept it. Yeah.
Yes, that would have been wonderful.
Yes, yeah.
Right, tell me about the hovels.
Well, the hovels, yes, as I were made, they were made either wood or tin. And I say the thing is that they kept all the tools in the, you know, the garden tools. There wasn't so many sprays about those days, not much spraying. It was all you might call them a hoe, we call them a hoove or a fork, you know what I mean? And they kept all the tools and so forth in the shed and that's in. Sometimes they took something to eat, a drink, you have a bit of lunch up there in the hovels, yes, yes.
Do you remember going up there often?
Different hovels I did, yes, yes.
Which different ones?
Some in North Eccleton, some in South Eccleton, yes. Because I wish to work on the land at South Eccleton as well at one time, you know. But all every gardener, they had a hovel, yes, they had a hovel, yes, they did.
You say everybody bought it off the manor farm?
No, that was only, no, there was all the other gardeners, it belonged to their own, their families used to have it in. It was left down from the families over the years, you know what I mean.
So it had been there for many years?
Oh yes, many years, yes. And along, I'll tell you along the Cleeve Prior, right from South Eccleton, right to Cleeve Prior, along that hill was all fruit trees. All fruit, there was, yes. And they're planting some more trees along there now, aren't they? Yes, it was all fruit.
Right. Those are relatively short crops, aren't they? I mean, you know, they come to fruition and...
Yeah, but the thing is, they used to say that the checks from the fruit were the best checks of the lot. Yes, yes.
The most profitable,
yes, thing. Yes, yes. When I was at Blackminster School, we had 7 weeks holiday, and I picked over 7 ton of Persia plums for Emmons up on the Cleeve Road.
And sent them off?
No, I worked for them, and I picked that quantity, and I earned £146. That was a lot of money them days for a young kid, if you know what I mean.
Enormous amount.
Yes.
I picked black currants in the 1960s. And I never made it to much more than £2 a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a devious job back home picking, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, lovely. Right. The hovel, you called it a shed.
We call them hovels. Hovels. That was in the proper name, hovel. Hovel.
Now, a hovel is, you know, when you think about it in a dictionary, it's a lousy, beaten down, horrible place to live.
Mm.
How come it was called a hovel?
Well, we've always called them hovels, and it was mostly made out of either tin or wood. Yes. So some of the gardeners used to line the tin to make it a bit warmer with them. No, to chalk bags, you know, understand what I mean? Yeah, to make it like that, yes. Everybody had a hovel. And I mean, the thing is, all the gardeners had small hovels. They used to congregate at lunchtime and talk about and say, who got the best asparagus or best beans, or so, you know what I mean? With a bit of bread and cheese and onion, if you know what I mean? It was good.
Which hovel was the most popular then? Because they'd all have to go to one hovel,
wouldn't
they?
Oh, no, they had congregated different sort of hovels they used to, yes, yes.
Do you remember your hovel?
Yes, I made my oven myself, as I say, at Botany, just down the road here, and I built it in 1961. That's 1961. And I can remember I was building this oven, and it was a third division north end, and my team, Derby County, beat Chesterfield 6-1 at the last match of the season. Yes.
all comes back to you.
It all comes back to you, that's right.
What was Edgar's hovel like? Because you said that he lived there.
Oh, he lived there, it was good. He lived there, quite a time. Yeah, quite a time. He lived there quite a time, yes. He was a real recluse, minor recluse. He didn't have anything to do with a lot of people, you know what I mean? And I mean, I can remember this one particular day. You can record all this, of course you can. I can remember this one particular night, and he said to me, he says, Reggie, said, here you are. I says, what's that? He said, this is my money. I said, oh, I says, I can't have your money. Record it. I can't have your money, Edgar. No. And I thought, what am I going to do with it? It was dark at night. And I thought, well, I'll take it up to Frank's, his brother. Frank wouldn't have it. And I thought, what am I going to do with it now? So I had to take it to his sister, Glencoe Road. I can't think of her name now. Wynne. It clinged Glencoe Road, and I gave her the money then, yes. Gave her it, yes.
And what did she do with it?
Well, I don't know what she done with it. But I mean, I can remember that Edgar's house up there, it was put up for auction, and it started off at £10. Yes, the house for £10. And it was made 27,000. And the thing is, Edgar recorded, Edgar had to go into Dirkert Lodge, right? He had to Dirkert Lodge in Evesham. And he was in there, Dirkert Lodge, and I went to see him. He said, Reggie says, I thought I had to pay them, he says, to be in here. I said, no, he said. As a matter of fact, he said, they paid me. I said, what are you talking about? He says, go and have a look in that chiffonier drawer, he says, and open it, he says. I went in there. There was about £1,500 in there. You see, he went a fruit picking on his ground, took all his money in his pocket and fell down the tree and so forth. And they had the money at the hospital and they gave it him back. That's that can be out.
Just repeat that. He. How old was he at that time?
60, 65 roughly.
Right. And so just tell me again what he did.
Yes, he fell down the tree. Yes. And he got this money on him, you see. So the thing is, they took him to Dirkert Lodge Hospital, and Dirkert Lodge Hospital, and as I say, that they gave him the money, sort of paid him back there, yes. But this wanted to claim him. He was a proper showman, really. I mean, the thing is, a lady called Mrs. Creed, have you heard of her? You have. Edgar had to go to see a specialist. Well, Margaret Creed was going to take him. And she got her hand on the steering wheel, shivering like that. She said, come on, Edgar, we've got to go and see now. We're talking, and me and Edgar started talking about sprouts and plums. And he just got his hand like that. You know, I don't think I should bother now. He was like that, you know, he was like that. Yes, yes.
Funny, isn't it?
Well, very funny, very funny.
Yeah, she said he was a straight guy.
Oh, yes, straight and honest, the day was long. Yes.
Never married?
No, he never married. And another story about the Edgar as well is the thing is that he took the stairs out of his house, right? Knocked the stairs out of his house, put the stairs up an apple tree and went upstairs to bed up a ladder.
Good God.
Yes, he did.
Why was that?
I don't know. I can remember it well. I can remember it very well.
But why?
I don't know. I don't know why. And another story about it, there was Brazils, they were travellers. They came to paint his house. And they were there a few days, only one chap. He come from Biffin-on-Avon. And he come down to me, Edgar come to me, and he says, Reggie says, this chap's having all my money. I says, what are you talking about having your money? He says, well, he does a bit of painting, and he takes me into Evesham to the bank, has my money. I says, oh, that's quite enough of that. I said, so anyway, the thing is, I rung the police and the yarder wrote a cheque out there for £700 and some odd, and the police just ripped the cheque up. But the thing is, to get his house painted up a bit, he brought a lady up there, Mrs. Craig, I think of her name, Badums, lend him so much money to have his house, helped him, helped him out. So I went up this one particular night. And I said, it was very good of Mrs. Badham's to help you out this money. He said, oh, I've got to pay her back, he said. I said, well, yeah, fair enough. And he said, but on this paper, he says, my deed's the house. I said, well, let me have a look at your deeds, Edgar. And he did, in the hour, for a woman, put her name on the bum deeds. I said, oh, I should forget about that. Edgar don't have anything to do with that. And he didn't.
No, you should think not.
Yes, I think not. Yes, yes.